Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Devotees, this morning we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3. Krishna is the source of all incarnations. And we'll read verse 16 and we will see how we do. We may well read on some more verses because there's just a short purport here for 16. All right. So, surasuranam adadim matnatam mandarachalam dadre kamata rupena prishta eka deshevipo. Anyone want to? Anyone memorized it after one hearing? Anyway, that's okay. It's a joke. Well, it shouldn't be, but it is. Anyone? Okay, fair enough. Let's just read the translation. The 11th incarnation of the Lord took the form of a tortoise, whose shell served as a pivot for the Mandarachala hill, which was being used as a churning rod by the theists and atheists of the universe. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Once, both the atheists and the theists were engaged in producing nectar from the sea, so that all of them could become deathless by drinking it. At that time, the Mandarachala hill was used as a churning rod, and the shell of Lord Tortoise, the incarnation of Godhead, became the resting place, pivot, of the hill in the seawater. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharani Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gauravata Brenda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vancha Kalpa Trinity is Jackie Vasindhu Vyaja Padidana Bhavane Vyo Vaishnava Vyo Namo. Give Ramai Prabhu, who is our senior member, a cushion. Or just the other
member. Sit on the sofa.
Yes. Hare Krishna.
No.
He's also a secret.
A Caesar.
I will sleep here.
A Peter. If you sleep, we will intervene. Yes, nice to see you. Yes, so this, of course, is very interesting and extremely important part of Srimad Bhagavatam. As I would say with any literature, particularly sort of educational literature, you got to start on the right foot. Otherwise, you know, it just doesn't work so well. So, therefore, we should note, as students, even eternal students of Srimad Bhagavatam, we should note very carefully how Srimad Bhagavatam begins. How it begins in terms of a system, and the details of the system, how the system is developed and evolved, particularly, well, anyway, just let's just say that. It just really makes sense. And it's very interesting to note how this discussion we're right in the middle of here about the different avatars, how it has come to be, how it has come to be that the discussion, this discussion is taking place. And now, of course, there's so many things we could say, but let me just note something really, I mean, it really is important. Let's see. That, well, first of all, Bhagavatam begins with the first verse, Janma Yasya Yatoam Vayad, etc., etc., which is very definitive. It is a rig. Well, I mean, it is what it is eternally, but in terms of the structure of the Vedic literatures, in the broader sense, it's a Rig Veda mantra. It's a Rig Veda mantra, and it is generally accepted by the. Sorry. The first verse of the Bhagavatam, that's not accurate. The first verse of the Bhagavatam is an elaboration on and clarification of the Brahma Gayatri, which is a verse from the Rig Veda. And I haven't got the reference here, but there is a reference, the particular verse number. And the Brahma Gayatri is generally accepted as the definitive verse of the Vedic scriptures. Yes. You all know, I think, even if you haven't received second initiation, you all know what is Brahma Gayatri. And if you... Anyways, the first Gayatri mantra that we chant if we're second initiated. Otherwise, it's the popular Gayatri mantra amongst the Hindus, Om Bhur Bhuva, etc. Yes, so that is what's the way Jiva Goswami presents it in Tapasandava is it is the prototype. Prototype meaning, you know, the original one from which the others develop, manifest, on upon which the others are based, you know, like you get prototype cars. Okay. So the first verse of the Bhagavatam then is an elaboration on, or actually, perhaps more correctly, a clarification of what is the Brahma Gayatri saying? What is it about? What is it trying to tell us? And what it is trying to tell us is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, actually. And that clarification is there very vividly in the first verse of the Bhagavatam. So then there's some, you would say, you might say, like historical introductory things, the sages of Naimasharanya and Sutta and Shukadev, I mean, at least not particularly Sutta and so on. And how it came to be that the Bhagavatam is spoken when it was and how it was and all that. and your first canto, I mean chapter, kind of goes on like that. But then in the second chapter, the first thing which really is gotten into is the message of the Bhagavatam, but in the sense of what you are meant to do about it in your life, your practical activities. And that is, perform devotional service. Yes. So the second chapter then, up to, it's sort of like verse 20 or 22 or something like that. You know, particularly these verses like 16, 17, 18, 19, they're really definitive in terms of the process, what you are meant to take away in terms of practical, you know, how you should then mold your life. But then, from about 22 onwards, there is a discussion, second chapter, there's a discussion about who or what is the supreme and should be focused upon. And that is, the language is very important. The language is important in that what should be focused on? Well, what should be focused upon is verse 22, Vasudeva Bhagavati. These two words are used. Vasudeva is a very particular person, and Bhagavati is a, what would you say, a declined form of, in a certain grammatical context, of the word Bhagavan. Yes. So the two are there. Vasudev, there's only one form of the Lord who can be addressed as Vasudev, and that is the one who is the form, who is the son of Vasudeva. As there is, to some degree, it's not like a universal thing by any means. At least in our experience, we don't see it as a fully universal thing. Is that sometimes the son of a person is given the same name as the father, but with the first syllable elongated. So the father is Vasudeva, and the son, applying this, you know, not universal, but it is used sort of principle, the son becomes Vasudeva. And that is none other, devotees then take a guess, our hero, Lord Krishna himself. And it's very important, you know, in terms of making a case. If we look on the Bhagavatam as not just, you know, the book we like to read and it just says nice and interesting things about Krishna and we just like it, therefore. But in the sense of making a case for Krishna consciousness as the final part and most conclusive part of the Vedic literatures, it's very important. Vasudeva Bhagavati, the two. Krishna, who is, of course, Bhagavati is a declined form, but still it's the word Bhagavan. That Vasudeva, Krishna, is the Bhagavan. Bhagavan, of course, we all know, means the person who possesses all opulences in full and is therefore beyond all others including even others who possess all opulences partially, or all opulences but not completely in full. Yeah. Which is, you know, another very interesting subject. And it's addressed to some degree in Nectar of Devotion. So, right, yes, verse 22. At the end, as the discussion of the process comes to an end, or is coming to an end, then this point is made that we are talking about here Lord Krishna, who is Vasudeva, who's the only one who's really Vasudeva. But Lord Krishna is not only Vasudeva, but he's also Bhagavan, the specific one. Even though the word Bhagavan is used to refer to quite a few other people, and even in other places in the Bhagavatam, but still everyone who knows enough, which is not a lot of people actually, they know that ultimately the term Bhagavan is really reserved for Krishna himself. And it's only used in reference to others, either by mistake or in terms of some relationship with Krishna and maybe empowerment by Krishna, that sort of idea. So then the narration goes on by getting into a discussion about, okay, who is he then? Who is he? What is he? What is he not? And who is like him to some degree? These sorts of ideas. So 23, we're still in chapter 2. 23 is talking about the guna avatars who are connected with Bhagavan, who happens to be Krishna, and, you know, therefore they have certain functions. And, you know, and there's a hierarchy amongst the demigods in terms of the hierarchy amongst the modes. Not all modes are equal. Yeah. Not all material modes are equal. The mode of goodness is the highest. And then on, that, you know, therefore, okay, you got the demigods, the modes, it's all based on the Lord. That's fine. But still, we must focus on the Lord and not get sidetracked by the demigods or worshipping, you know, other systems of worship like the forefathers. And then 28 and 29, which have been put together in our Bhagavatam, they are very important because it's, you know, the verses Vasudeva Paraveda, Vasudeva Paramaka, Vasudeva, 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 Vasudeva. Krishna is all these things, the supreme in everything. So then after 29, there is a shift. There's a shift. And in the sense that a real focus is made and continues to be made on. And what is the idea behind that? Is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears within this world. This is very important for us. You know, we are the audience. And you got to gear yourself to the audience. If you don't do that, you can make the best presentation possible. But, you know, you could say at least effectively it won't work. So for us, what sorts of forms and what things to do with the Lord are particularly important and relevant and kind of relatable to, and even appear in our history. And that is the other times. The other times. Yes. So, the first verse, verse 30, which is now introducing, okay, look, let us focus on the other times. Yeah, for these reasons we mentioned. It's verse 30, Saeve dam sasar jagre bhagavan atma maya ya. Saasad rupaya chasau guna maya guno vipu bhagavan. These are avatars, but these are avatars of Bhagavan. Here we could just make a point, make mention of the fact that Bhagavan is, it's a name of Krishna, but it's also, it's more like a title. Title, yes, a title or a title in terms of post. Prime Minister, President, these are all titles in terms of the post, the particular function. So Bhagavan, it's a name, but it's also a title in terms of post, particularly, first and foremost, and, you know, most properly in relation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's why, you know, if any of you want to do a study and report back, you could do a little study, it wouldn't take it, it'd take it some minutes. How many times when Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita, how many times does Bhagavad Gita say, Sri Krishna Uvacha?
Never.
Thank you. Anyone who wants to just check, you're welcome. But everybody knows that it is Krishna speaking as an individual. But there is not one instance of when, you know, usually after Arjuna has said something, but anyway, whenever there's this, you know, that now Krishna's speaking here. It's only Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. The point is, and Prabhupada discusses this, that Bhagavad Gita as a very foundational book of absolute instruction, we got to get it clear. It's got to be clear enough. The book has to be clear enough. What is the position of the speaker? And its position is, he is Bhagavan. He is Bhagavan. So, okay, so now, from 30 onwards, there's at least moving into the sort of format or strategy or just way of presenting that we are now going to discuss about the avatars of Bhagavan. Not just the avatars of Vasudev, but the avatars of Bhagavan, means the big man, the top guy. Yeah, not just an individual, but the person who occupies that post. Yeah. So, okay, yeah, so Bhagavan, Atma Maya, yeah. By his own energy, Atma Maya. Bhagavan put this whole sort of thing into effect. And then the verses continue on like that. In chapter, towards the end of chapter 2, uh, yeah, just elaborating a bit further on the Lord bringing in the super soul, which is very important. And then we go into chapter 3, and chapter 3, now we're actually mentioning the avatars, although the super soul is an avatar also. But because the super soul is so kind of foundational amongst the avatars, he's been given a position in the towards the end of, like, in the introductory part, before actually, you know, getting into the list. So verse 1 then of chapter 3 begins, would you believe, devotees, Sutta Uvacha, Jagrihe Purusham Rupam, Bhagavan Mahad Adabi. Just in case it's not clear enough, we are talking about Bhagavan here. Yeah. Because here now we're going to be talking about him as the source. And how does he work as the source? So how does he work as the source, Bhagavan? He produces the Purusha avatars. These are the first avatars mentioned in the list. And then how they work is touched on a bit. Actually, up to, well, the first three verses, four verses, are just dealing with the Purusha avatars. Then Garbhadakshaya Vishnu comes in verse 5, and then verse 6, now you've got avatars in a more, well, avatars, the Kumars. Anyway, you've been reading this. Varaha, Narada, Naranarayan, Kapila, who is sometimes spoken of, sometimes, as the Yuga avatar for Satya Yuga, then Dattatreya, Yagya, these are all avatars. Rishabha, special type of avatar. Prithu, Matsya, and devotees. Today, Kurama, Sri Kurama Avatar Ki.
Yeah.
Right, verse 16. And, you know, of course, we as a group, specific group, are not going to be reading on so much further. But I could just mention that it's just a really interesting point, and it's just, you know, it's just the same point. That when you finally reach verse 20, well, actually, when you finally reach verse, almost finally, verse 23, then Krishna and Balaram are mentioned, and Ekona Vimshe Vinshati Me, Vrishnishu Prapya Janmani, Ramakrishna Viti Bhuvo, Bhagavan Aharad Bharam. In reference, since we just last noted the use of the word Bhagavan, it hasn't been used in relation to any of the other avatars. But, interesting little point, it is now used in regard to Krishna and Balaram, or perhaps most particularly Krishna, but maybe also Bhagavan, but most particularly Krishna. Which then brings us on to such an important verse, 28, which Srila Jiva Goswami in Krishna Sandarbha elaborately establishes that, what is the message of the Bhagavatam? is, and therefore he calls it, what's the word he used? Huh? The Paribas Sutra of the Bhagavata. Yeah, the Paribas Sutra means the definitive verse, which very clearly establishes what is the book, whatever the book is, whatever the book is about, and to which you can refer in the course of your study of the book. If you come across parts of the book which seem to have other ideas, but then you can connect them back to the Paribas Sutra and then get the right perspective. In Vedic literature, in so many things, but in Vedic literature, perspective, sort of the angle upon which you look at subjects, is extremely important. Subjects, words, the usage of words in any book, but in this case in the Bhagavata. Yeah, you have to have the perspective to see them right. Otherwise, for example, when in Bhagavata it's said that the absolute truth is formless in this way or that, it's sometimes said, then you know, aha, we must get the perspective back. It's in regard to Krishna. And therefore, there's a second, amongst scholars of the Bhagavatam, a secondary Paribas Sutra, secondary, which is chapter 2, verse 11, Vedanti tat tat va vidas tapam yajjnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabjate. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. It's attributed, that sort of status is attributed to that verse, because it is definitive in the context of Brahman and Paramatma. And without that connection, 38 doesn't exactly say it. Indirectly it does, but not, like word for word say it. Yeah, so then when you do get these very important statements, important in the sense they refer to the absolute truth as impersonal or as all-pervading, then you can understand how to apply this. It's in relation to Krishna. So, but 38 is the Paribas Sutra, and it includes that point, but indirectly. Eti chang sakalapum sa Krishna stu Bhagavan swayam indrari vyakalam lokam mridi yanti yuge yuge. All of the above mentioned incarnations are either plenary portions or portions of plenary portions of the Lord. But Lord Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. All of them, the different avatars, appear on planets whenever there's a disturbance created by the atheists. The Lord incarnates to protect the theists. So in this verse, Krishna is not only addressed as Bhagavan, but as Bhagavan Swayam. When you use the word Swayam in Sanskrit, it is like saying the very one. This is, such and such, the very one. Sometimes we speak like that. Who made this mess? It was him. It wasn't just them. It was him. He's the very one. Where the buck stops, sort of idea. Bottom line. So Swayam has that sense that he is not only Bhagavan. Arguably, it might be enough to say he is the Bhagavan. But we're not only doing that, we're saying he is Bhagavan Swayam. He is the possessor of all opulences, but the very one, there's no flexibility. There's no flexibility. He's the very one who possesses all of the opulences in full. Anyway, I just thought I could begin by talking about this because it's often not really understood or known by our wonderful devotees. So, yes, so Kurama is one of the avatars. Avatar, of course, meaning one who descends. You know, you probably, I'm sure many of you at least are aware, this term avatar has been adopted in sort of that type of sense, to some degree, in popular culture, computer culture, right? You're familiar with that. Yeah, you can have your avatar, your sort of stick figure, you know, representation, or not stick figure, but you know what I mean. And then you interact with others on the internet who also, you know, this word represent, re-present. They present themselves again. They re-present, re-meaning again. They re-present themselves as something they're not. Usually something much better than what they are. Like, you know, Mr. Cool or Miss Universe or something along those lines. And if you ever get to meet them, you find it's some, you know, elderly chappy who's just... or some very ordinary, overweight housewife. We have all these types of ideas, but these are avatars. So, but avatar literally means one who descends from a higher level to a lower level, or from the spiritual world to this world. Therefore, it could be said, I mean, some people say it could be said, that we're also avatars, because we have come from there, at least this is the general idea as we understand it. But really, the term avatar means descend and not fall. Of course, to descend is a type of, I mean, to fall is a type of descent. But it's not a good one. Definitely, you know. If the umbrella term is to descend, come from a higher level to a lower level, there are many ways you can do that. But to fall is one of them. But it's got such negative connotations for extremely good reason. So we have fallen, and but the Lord descends Atma Mayaya by his own potency. We don't descend by our own potency. We descend by his potency due to our confusion. Yes. So, yeah. So this is avatar, those who descend, and Kurama descended. I mean, we can just touch on Lord Kurama. Lord Kurama features within the eighth canto, actually along with a number of other avatars, including, I think, yeah, oh, yeah, well, including Dhanvantari, actually. Yeah. And Mohini. Yeah, they're all there in the eighth canto. The eighth canto is kind of a very dynamic canto. Many all sorts of things happen, but it's all in the context. I mean, it's mainly in the context. A lot of it's in the context of what's mentioned here in regard to Lord Kurama about the churning. The churning. of the milk ocean by the demigods and the demons. So Lord Kurma appears in the course of that and performs a particular function in the course of that, but it's not like he's sort of absolutely pervading the whole episode, like the greater kind of umbrella pastime which is going on. Lord Kurma, the demigods and the demons. So there's the milk ocean, there's and different things are coming out of it, and Dhanvantari comes out of it, holding the pot, the kumbha, the pot of nectar of, quote unquote, immortality. Prabhupada here refers to it as being deathless, but actually it's not. But it's sort of, you know, when you're on a certain level, you would see it like that, or could see it like that. So yeah, Dhanvantari came out. So different things or people came out, and Dhanvantari came out, and he's an avatar also, and he had the pot of nectar. Anyway, it's a bit of a long story, but let's just say the churning, how to start getting stuff out of the milk ocean. Well, you got to churn it. How are you going to extract the butter from milk? You got to churn it. Yeah. So, an extraction process. Yeah. In other words, and Prabhupada also makes the point, that butter is already in milk. It's already there. It's just that it's in a merged state position. But actually the butter's already there. And by sort of extension, the ghee is already there. Yeah. And yogurt is there. Cream is there. And arguably the burfi is there.
Cheese.
Yeah, the paneer is definitely there. Of course, you know, sugar, that's another point. Mm-hmm. But at least on a fundamental level, foundational level, even the chum chum is there. Yeah. In the milk. But how to extract, how to get your hands on these things? You need an extraction process. So churning. So there was an idea, just an idea, that they would share it. Ha, ha, ha. Anyway, sharing not being a strong point amongst particularly the demons, but even amongst the demigods, you know, sometimes, unfortunately. So, but that was the idea. Okay, look, we'll work together and we'll share it. So, right, so how to do it? Well, you need a churning rod. Oh, wow. Wow, what's that going to be? Oh, Mandara Mountain. Mandara Chala Mountain. Oh, yeah. It'll make a good churning rod. I don't even know how they got that idea, but... So then, okay, it's inland somewhere. We've got to get it down there. How to do that? Well, you know, we're big, strong guys. Let's just carry it down. And so they were carrying, but it was too much for them. And they started getting squished. Once in Russia, one little girl, child, she was interested in the fact that I was from Africa and that in Africa we have elephants. And I asked her, do you want me to bring you an elephant when I come next? And she became thoughtful. And she said, no, it would squish me. And another, either little girl or little boy, I think it was a little girl, same situation, would you like me to bring you an elephant? Very thoughtful. No, it will not fit in our car. The innocence of the child. So yeah, they were getting squished, and it looked like they were just going to get super squished, because it was reaching the point where they couldn't continue. So anyway, then the Lord helped them. And then so now the hill or mountain, now it's in the ocean. Now you just got to get it going, you know, the churning process. But it was stuck on the bottom. Yeah, because, you know, if you know much about physics and the laws of, what do you call it? Friction. The laws of friction. If the friction, if it's just too, you know, much friction, the thing won't move at all. And they actually couldn't get the thing to move because the bottom was, you know, contacting the bottom of the ocean and its sand and rocks and whatever. Too much friction. Okay, we need, what would you call it? What do they call it?
A pivot,
that's what you need. Yeah, you need a pivot. Something which, you know, is nice and smooth and things can move on very easily. Ah, where are we going to get that? Aha, our hero and helper under all sorts of circumstances, the Supreme Lord, incarnates as Lord Kurma. Shri Kurma Deva Ki. And sure enough, oh yes, now we can get into it. Because there was a situation, who will take the tail end and who will take the mouth end? And as I recall, the demons, seeing themselves as being great heroes and respectable personalities, felt they should have, I think, the mouth end. Yeah, because it's, you know, at least that's where the food goes in. So I think it's some consideration of that sort. Who was it told the demigods, don't say anything, just agree? But it was somebody. Someone said, yeah, don't say anything. Because the demigods, they also feel, you know, we are heroes, and you know, what makes you think that you're better than us? But no, they are told, just agree, just go along with it. There is a plan. It will work out. So, okay, so the churning happened and out came all these people and things, and eventually Dhanvantari with the pot of nectar. Anyway, that's okay. You can talk about what happened there some other time. But that was really the contribution of Lord Kurma. As far as we understand, or I don't think it even really noted, mentions, but maybe it does. Once his sort of leela was finished, he happened to have an itch on his back. You know, if you've been to Mauritius, or maybe in the zoos here, I don't know, you would have seen the tortoises. Yes. Big and old and super slow. And you'd think, you know, it was this year, I think, and they're the tortoises, because we usually go to Pumple Moose, so they're the tortoises. And I was looking at this tortoise and I remembered this, the itch. I thought, how can you really get an itch through A shell like that? But that's what they say.
You certainly wouldn't be able to scratch it very easily.
Well, yeah, that's a fact. So the Lord somehow had got an itch. And so this just fitted in with him. Yeah, it was also his program. Not just helping out, you know, these kind of incompetent demons and demigods who just couldn't get their bright idea manifest. But it was actually his pastime. Yeah. So we assume that after that, he returned to the great planet of where itches are relieved in Vaikuntha. Or something like that. Yeah, something like that. So that's Lord Kurma. And Lord Kurma is very nice. We used to worship a Shalagra, a Kurmashila. But, you know, time being what it is, I usually find after a while I can't continue. So it's now being worshipped by, if you know, Ranchor Prabhu from Mauritius. I mean, from South Africa. From South Africa. Who lives, I think he lives still in Mauritius. Oh, no, he's gone to Australia now. Yeah, that's right. But anyway, yes. He's worshipping Lord Kurma. So there, devotees, there you've got a little bit of background to the narration. I feel that's an important component because Srimad Bhagavatam is not just a collection of short stories. You know, yeah, even about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's a whole systematic presentation of the Supreme Absolute Truth for the benefit of all humanity. It is just something so super special. And when you get something so super special, you definitely don't expect it to be sort of haphazardly put together. No, you'd expect that with the greatest care it was, you know, things were placed in their different positions and presented in particular ways. And it's actually the case. So, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Shri Kurma Deva ki
jai.
Shri Shri Radha Landanishwara ki
jai.
Go Premanandi.
Hare Krishna.
Chaitanya Swami ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Okay, so there we go. 4 minutes late.
So I think. Put that on Facebook. That's on Facebook. So anyway, I think that sounds like your breakfast must be.